Chapter 6. Master Windu, do you have a moment? Anakin calls. 3 steps outside the briefing room, Mace pauses. Wants to say no because the shift is over and he has places to be. But he still stops regardless. Master, wait! Ahsoka complains, scrambling to catch up as Anakin ducks out into the corridor. I told you it was fine. I was just worried. It's fine, Snips. If Master Windu doesn't know, he can at least tell us who to ask. Mace's smile is the one that tries for charming, and it makes Mace raise a brow at him, braced for practically anything. Sorry, Master Windu, do you know anything about Master T? Obi-Wan asked Ahsoka to relay a message to her on Coruscant, but she can't get through to her. Ahsoka pulls a face, but she doesn't protest. Master T's never away from her comm for this long, she says in explanation. A less complicated question than Mace was expecting, and he nods once and starts moving again. Master T departed for Kamino immediately after her report to the council, he says. She's likely still traveling. I can provide you with a frequency for her ship if you would like. Yes, please, Ahsoka says, expression brightening. Thank you, Master Windu. When she wouldn't answer... She trailed off, but Mace doesn't need her to finish. They'd had run-ins with assassins before, and as the Jedi overseeing all the training of the new clones, Shock is a high-value target. She and Commander Colt should arrive on Kamino before we reach Ord Radama. If your need is someone on Coruscant, however, Master Kun should still be in residence. Master T left quickly, Anakin says, brow wrinkling. Master Obi-Wan said she'd just arrived when she gave her report. Is everything all right? Mace pauses, weighing his responses. The idea that the clones could be altered in such a way as to be mentally adjusted is unnerving, and he isn't sure he wants it to be common knowledge, even among other Jedi. Not when Shock is so vulnerable, alone on Kamino. Once Aegon reaches her, she'll at least have another Jedi to rely on, and Colt will stay with her, but... Kamino is large, and there are many, many ways it could go badly if someone wanted to do her harm, regardless of her skill. The Kaminoans are being unforthcoming in regards to the specifics of the alterations they've made to the clones. He finally settles on, glances up to check the door numbers, and wonders how he can end this conversation before he reaches B-Deck. Shock has been asking questions, but receiving very few answers. He catches the look Ahsoka and Anakin trade, sees worry in their faces. Five said... Ahsoka starts, and then closes her mouth, frowning. Fives? Mace asks, glancing between them. One of the survivors of the attack on the Rishi moon base, Anakin says after a moment. He's part of the 501st now. When he was telling us about his training, he said Master T intervened personally to keep his whole squad from being terminated. There's a tightness in his voice that Mace sympathizes with, and he lets out a slow breath. Commander Colt implied she's had to do the same thing multiple times, he says quietly. Master Kolar is on his way to Kamino as well, to provide her with assistance. Between them, with a stronger Jedi presence, I hope there will be less need for intervention. Agent Kolar? Anakin asks, surprised. The Form 4 Master? The one who threatened to fight a whole mob single-handedly? Ahsoka asks, smirking. Aegon is uninterested in diplomacy, Mace says, and tries not to let the remembered exasperation bleed through, especially when faced with treachery to the Order. Anakin pulls a face, resting a hand on his lightsaber. Master Obi-Wan said Vos was one of his friends, he says grimly. How did he end up working for Dooku? Bravery, Mace thinks, and then firmly sets it aside. Quinlan going undercover as one of Dooku's dark adepts is a risk, but the potential reward of the mission is too great not to attempt it. There are many Jedi, he says, who walk a line very close to the dark side. I am one of them. Quinlan is another. We take care, but sometimes a single step can start you on a path that ends far away from the light. That's what Vapod is, right? Ahsoka asks curiously. Only some Jedi can use it for that reason. Mace pauses, debating his words.
Vapod is a philosophy, he finally says. It is a passage through your darkest instincts and back into the light of compassion, and it requires a certain acceptance of the darkness within. The use of it, and an enjoyment of physical battle and victory tempered by the peace that follows. It is a meeting of light and dark and the user's balance between the two.
I thought all Jedi were supposed to reject the dark side, Anakin says, and his gaze is heavy, the curl of his vast presence abrasive. Mace glances over to meet his gaze and holds it for a moment as he folds his hands into his sleeves.
Acknowledging the existence of a thing is not giving oneself over to it, Mace says bluntly.
Remembers Depa in the jungles of Harun Kal, swallowed by the form, consumed. Breathes through the memory of his home planet, his former Padawan, the darkness there, and says,
I know my place in the Force, and which tenets of it I serve. Through Vapod, I can see what lines can be crossed, and which cannot.
He would have let Depa strike him down, rather than fall. Would have let his daughter in all but blood kill him, and then move on to others in her path, rather than fully surrender to the dark side and risk corruption. Mace knows his place, and his path. Knows what he would do to maintain it, too, and what he would sacrifice. Everything, in the end.
Does Voss know Vapod, then? Anakin asks after a moment, looking away.
I suspect he does, Mace confirms. Sora Bulk, who helped me create the form, is also in Dooku's employ. He taught Quinlan Vapod once, and I wouldn't be surprised if he'd taken advantage of their proximity to finish his instruction.
An edge of anger slides through him, not yet aged enough to lose its sharpness. Sora was always volatile, but Vapod had consumed him as well in the end. Criff, Anakin mutters. Does everyone who uses it go dark side? With a hiss, Ahsoka elbows him, pointedly, and he seems to realize what he just asked and winces.
No offense, Master Windu.
Mace just snorts, because he's hardly about to take umbrage from the truth. Practically everyone who uses it does, at some point.
A similar style, Juyo, has long been favored by the Sith, he says,
and Anakin can't quite hide his shock.
I believe Maul was a practitioner. Maintaining a hold on the light can be difficult if you allow the form to master you, rather than mastering it.
Oh, Anakin says, and frowns, flicks a glance ahead of them, just as steps approach, and Mace turns to see Razor approaching.
Generals, Commander, Razor says, giving them a quick salute before he stops in front of Mace.
Sir, Pons told me, and... They're a little rough since I didn't have much time, and all I could get my hands on was some scrap wiring, but...
He offers up a hand, a flash of gold on his palm. Mace would rather do this anywhere but in front of Anakin and Ahsoka. But... He pauses, and then very carefully picks the rings up from Razor's palm. They're braided, pressed almost flat, with no edges that can catch a blaster trigger or snag on gloves. Roughly polished rather than bright, but certainly not utilitarian.
You're very skilled, Sergeant,
Mace says, admiring the two different shades of wire that form the central braid.
These are quite impressive, especially given the lack of warning.
Razor grins, bright.
Thank you, sir. Next time, though, give me at least a week, please.
Mace snorts.
I don't believe there will be a next time, he says dryly, but I'll make a note.
That's a good thing, right? Razor looks deeply pleased. Congratulations, sir, from all of Lightning Squadron.
Thank you, Razor, Mace says, and curls his fingers over the rings. He'll have to pick up a gift for Razor in thanks the next time he has an opportunity.
Enjoy, sir. Razor gives him a cheeky smile and ducks past, hurrying on up the corridor. Late for his shift, Mace realizes, catching a flicker of concern from the trooper, and wants to smile. Late because he wanted to deliver the rings in person, and he'd only just finished them. Mace will have to make sure Commander Neo knows not to reprimand him for that.
What are those? Anakin asks, from too close. He leans around Mace, squinting at his hand.
Were those rings?
They looked like rings, Ahsoka agrees, curious, and ducks around Mace's other side to try and catch a glimpse.
Mace keeps his fingers closed and very deliberately folds his hands back into his sleeves, face impassive. The flicker of a matched pout on Ahsoka and Anakin's faces is deeply amusing, but Mace doesn't give anything away.
If you'll excuse me, Anakin, Ahsoka, I have an engagement I have to keep in the observation room, Mace says, and steps out from between them.
Anakin chokes. What? Engagement? He repeats, but instead of being shocked still, as Mace had hoped, there are instantly steps following in Mace's wake. Hey, we were just going that way too, weren't we, Snips?
For meditation, Ahsoka agrees, because she's just as bad as her master when there's a secret she can stick her nose into. We were going to meditate while looking at the stars, through closed eyes. Totally.
Mace rolls his eyes and debates the logistics of locking the door in their faces. The Endurance is his flagship, and he has the main override code. It's just a matter of keeping them outside, and hoping they don't cut through the door. Or get Obi-Wan.
Meditation?
Anakin hisses at his Padawan, probably under the impression that Mace can't hear him, with all of 5 feet between them.
Really, Snips? I didn't hear you coming up with anything better, Master.
Ahsoka hisses back. One hard force push would send them sailing down the corridor, Mace reflects. It would give him ample time to escape. Except they already know his destination. That was a miscalculation, clearly. Then again, this is not technically a secret. The whole point to make it known as soon as the marriage is official. And while Mace would much rather wait until after Obi-Wan is safely on his own ship before he finds out Mace married his commander, he's fairly confident that Obi-Wan is discreet enough to wait until there are fewer witnesses to assassinate him. Of course, the same doesn't go for Anakin, but Mace can probably keep him pinned with the Force long enough for them to finish their vows, should he try and interfere.
I hope my business won't interrupt your meditation, then,
he says, desert dry, and pretends not to hear Ahsoka's victorious sound and Anakin's huff of indignation. They keep on his heels as he approaches the observation room, where a familiar figure is just opening the door.
Sir, Pawn says, and his gaze flickers to Anakin and Ahsoka.
He pauses, looking like he's debating physically blocking their path, but Mace raises a discreet hand to halt him.
Pawns, Mace returns,
and doesn't otherwise acknowledge his tagalongs.
Is the Admiral here yet?
On his way, sir, Pawns reports.
Eyes Anakin like he's sizing him up, and then steps aside so Mace can enter. Mace makes it through the gap just fine, but somehow Anakin has to squeeze to get between the commander and the doorframe, as Pawn successfully makes himself into an immovable object.
Oh, Rex, Anakin says, caught between startled and suspicious.
Here for the view?
A favor for a friend,
Rex says, and straightens from his place, leaning against the transparasteel. He nods politely to Mace, and then asks, "You here as a witness?" "Witness?" Ahsoka asks, and sharp eyes dart from Rex to Mace, and then right to Anakin, who meets her gaze with a faint, confused frown of his own. "Witness to what?" Rex snaps his mouth shut, looking caught, and glances at Mace warily. Looks to Pons, too, like he's hoping for a rescue there. But Pons is paying more attention to his data pad than his fellow trooper. Sympathetic to his plight, Mace steps in and asks pointedly, "Where precisely were you planning to meditate?" Ahsoka and Anakin trade glances, and Ahsoka takes three long steps to the side and gracefully sinks down to the floor, folding her legs beneath her. "Anywhere will be out of the way, Master Windu," she says quickly, and manages to punch Anakin in the ankle and make it look almost like an accident. "Right, Master?" "Right," Anakin says, suspicious, and settles next to his Padawan. Kneeling in exactly the spot that provides no view of the stars at all. Ahsoka doesn't seem to notice. Her eyes are supposedly closed, but Mace can see her open one quickly to peek at Rex again before she shuts it again hurriedly. "Like Master, like Padawan," Mace thinks, and doesn't sigh. Instead, he makes his way over towards where Rex is waiting and offers quietly, "Captain?" "General Windu." Rex looks from him to Pons, and there's something like a grin breaking out over his face. "Thanks for the save, sir." "It's no problem," Mace says, amused. "Your general decided to invite himself along, I'm afraid, so it was the least I could do." Rex winces. "Hope Cody won't mind," he says. "He was worried about Obi-Wan finding out." Another quick glance at Pons, and good humor slides back into his expression. "Can't imagine why. Obi-Wan's gonna think it's great." That is not what Mace was expecting to hear. He blinks, raising a brow, and asks, bemused, "You think he'll approve?" Rex hesitates, then snorts. "I wouldn't go that far. He's not going to think anyone's good enough for Cody. But Pons is..." The hiss of the door opening cuts him off before Mace can figure out what Pons has to do with Obi-Wan's approval of their marriage. He looks automatically, and the dress uniform fits. Cody is tugging at a sleeve, frowning, but there are no rumpled lines, no places where it sits poorly. Black suits him, and Mace steps forward to meet him without pause. "Mace," Cody says quietly, and his gaze slides over to where Anakin and Ahsoka are both pretending very hard to meditate. One corner of his mouth curls, amusement sliding through Mace's sense of him, and he asks, "I think you picked up some ducklings." Mace rolls his eyes faintly. "I hope you don't mind," he says. Cody shakes his head. "No plan ever survives encounter with the enemy, or General Skywalker," he says dryly. "No General Kenobi?" "Not yet," Mace mutters, and turns to greet Killian as he sweeps in. "Admiral, thank you for agreeing to this." "Of course, General Windu." Killian gives him a wry smile. "You're not the first to be doing this before a pitched battle, and I doubt you'll be the last." Mace inclines his head, entirely willing to believe it. "Still, it's appreciated," he says, and glances over at Pons as he approaches. "Razor found you, sir?" he asks quietly, and gives Cody a polite nod. "He did," Mace confirms, and takes a breath, meets Cody's eyes, seeing an equal amount of buried trepidation there, and tries for a faint smile. "Ready?" "As I'll ever be," Cody says wryly, and reaches out, offering Mace his hand. Mace made his choice the morning Plo first brought the plan to him. He takes Cody's hand, curling his fingers around Cody's, and feeling the subtly different calluses from a blaster instead of a lightsaber. It occurs to him, suddenly, that he and Cody haven't touched before, that this is the first time, and it's at their wedding. From the way Cody's gaze flickers down to their interlocked hands, then rises to catch Mace's, he's not the only one coming to that realization. Then, halfway between a challenge and an inside joke, Cody smiles, turns his hand in Mace's grip, fingers sliding down Mace's wrist to grip his forearm until their pulse points are pressed together. And he says, "Rex, if you keep staring at me like that, your face is going to get stuck that way." Raising a brow, Mace looks over and is amused to find Rex's wide eyes locked on their hands. Slowly, incredulously, his stare rises to fix on Cody's face. And he opens his mouth, closes it, and slams his eyes shut for one long, long breath. "Vod," he says, strangled, "I am going to kick your carking ass from here to the core." Ah, so Cody left out some vital information when he asked Rex to stand with him. Mace aims his raised brow at Cody instead, and Cody at least has the decency to wince. "You would have made a scene," he says, though it's a half-hearted defense. "Over you marrying General Windu?" Rex says, voice cracking. "You're damn right I would have." He definitely wasn't talking about Obi-Wan approving of Mace then. Suddenly, the last conversation makes far more sense. Before he can say anything, though, there's a loud yelp. "What?" Anakin demands, and instantly he's on his feet, stalking towards them with something slightly wild in his eyes. "Master Windu, what the hell is this?" Cody sighs through his nose and closes his eyes, clearly resigned to the interruption. He doesn't let go, though, and so Mace doesn't try to either. He just aims a look at Anakin that used to make even Qui-Gon Jinn hesitate, then says flatly, "A marriage ceremony." "But Jedi don't get married," Ahsoka protests, lost. "Master, why, you can't do this." Mace raises a brow at her, deliberate. "Nothing in the code forbids love," he says, and sees Anakin still, something unreadable flickering across his face. "As long as a Jedi does not let their love slip into possessiveness, relationships are entirely permissible." "Getting married was my idea," Cody says, unexpectedly, and Mace flicks a glance at him as he opens his eyes. His expression slants into determination, and he meets Anakin's disbelief with a raised chin. "I wanted something tangible, even if Jedi don't normally tie the knot officially." "You were seeing Master Windu?" Anakin asks, bewildered. "For how long? Does Obi-Wan know?" "A while," Pon says, an unexpected defense. He must see the surprise on all their faces, because he shrugs and says, "General Windu's been slipping away to calm someone at strange times, and he's disappeared the last few times we were on leave. I didn't ask, but you were meeting, right?" "Meeting Quinlan," Mace thinks, and very carefully doesn't let out a breath of relief. "Well, assuming a clandestine relationship is better than assuming a spy." "Yes, I thought we'd been discreet." "You were." Ponza's smile is quick. "No one else noticed, I'm pretty sure." "Can we do this later?" Cody asks and lifts his and Mace's locked arms slightly. "Please?" "No," Anakin splutters. This is ridiculous. Why are you getting married?" Mace and Cody trade glances, and Mace raises a brow slightly. Cody rolls his eyes in response and asks, "Why do you think most people get married, General?" "You're on the council, Master Windu," Ahsoka says more quietly. "Is this the kind of thing they'd allow?" "Yes," Mace says, more gently than he might if it were anyone else asking. "The Jedi Order has never forbidden marriage, as long as a Jedi can still fulfill their duty." He glances at Cody again and says, "Cody understands that I would sacrifice my life to save others,
and prioritize innocence over him should we be put in that situation. Anakin's expression twists, somewhere between incomprehension and revulsion, but he doesn't say anything. And I wouldn't want it any other way, Cody adds, pointed. I'd do the same thing, and Mace knows it. We're fighting a war, and we're meant to protect other people. Each other, but there are other people depending on us, and they come first. He shakes his head and says more quietly, I just wanted something for myself, General. That's what this is about. Anakin doesn't have anything to say to that, and Ahsoka looks thoughtful. When there's no response, Cody nods like that's decided it, and turns back to Killian. Sorry, Admiral. We're ready. Killian casts a bemused look between them, but nods. You come free and open to this marriage? He asks. Anyone else would probably miss the faint curl of Cody's mouth, rueful and relieved in equal measure. Yes, he answers. Yes, Mace echoes, and gladly. He means it. Given what this is for, he'd pay whatever price he needed to in order to accomplish their aims. Marriage to an unobjectionable person is hardly a steep price, regardless of what it brings. Very gladly, Cody agrees, amused, and his grip tightens faintly on Mace's arm. I didn't prepare anything. That's all right, Killian says. Any vows you'd like, I just need to hear them said. Cody seems to be struggling to find words, so Mace steps into the silence. He's seen 1,000 marriages as a Jedi, in 1,000 different cultures. And for a moment, he thinks of the Mandalorian exchange of vows, but it's too personal, means too much to a Mandalorian. This is a marriage built on pretense, not on wanting to spend the rest of their lives together. Through the darkness, he says quietly, and he can feel Cody's pulse against his own, steady and strong, and back into the light. Everything is darkness right now, before them and behind them, nothing but shadow. The act of moving brings light through. Mace is acting, moving to free the clone troopers, and that in itself is light. Light long coming, but finally realized. Cody's expression flickers, but then breaks into a smile, and he repeats, through the darkness and back into the light. There is a weight of meaning on it for him as well, and something touched with determination. In the rushing light of hyperspace outside, the scar that curves around his eye is clear. His gaze is steady but bright. Carefully, he steps forward, and Mace reads the incline of his body, leans in as well, and is only a little surprised when Cody taps their foreheads together instead of outright kissing him. A Keldabe kiss, even if they're not in armor. And Mace breathes into it, closes his eyes for a long moment before he opens them again. Cody is watching him, a hesitation clear in his face. And Mace laces their free hands, leans in, slow enough to cover the fact that the motion isn't practiced between them. He closes the last few inches between them, fitting their mouths together. And Cody exhales, buried surprise in the sound, before he kisses back. It's chaste, quick. Mace hasn't kissed anyone in a very long while, and the action is almost unfamiliar, but warm, careful. Cody kisses him like it means something, and even if it's only for the audience, Mace feels that same warmth in his veins as they pull apart. No until death in their vows, not in these circumstances. This will be enough. Into the silence, Killian clears his throat. Then by my authority as captain of this ship, he says, you're wed. One step forward, and the motion is all the light they need. Cody's fingers loosen, slip down Mace's arm to cup his elbow,
and he pulls him in. Mace moves with him, curls his arms around Cody as Cody presses their temples together, wraps him in a hug that's just this side of too tight. Mace can feel the brush of lashes against his cheek and hears the breathed, "Thank you," that's too soft for anyone else to catch. He smiles just a little, curls a hand around the back of Cody's head, fingers in soft black hair, and murmurs in return, "Thank you, Cody." The shake of Cody's faint laughter is clear from this close, and when he lets go, he's smiling too. Free of the label of property just as soon as the forms are filed. And Mace has faith that all the rest of this will fall into order shortly afterwards. When Killian passes them the forms to sign, the force curls around the strokes of the stylus, radiates out in a web of intent like Mace hasn't seen in years. He studies the shatter point for a moment, taking in the breadth of it, and lifts his gaze to catch Cody's. This is going to change things. But then, Mace already knew that quite well. With a bit of luck, it will change everything.